this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Luke 7, verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town, who lived a sinful life, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord.
That is a powerful story with strong, memorable characters, people in that story. You can't help but think about that woman. What happened to her? How did it all start? Here at Bethel, one of the ministries that we have started to become excited about is the Restorations Ministry, where people are helping women who are trapped in the sex trade to escape from it and to find a new way to live that isn't so damaging to them. And what I hear about the women that have been restored to a better way, and having read of other people that have found themselves in such situations, they never dreamed for it. They weren't little girls who said, "I think I want to be a prostitute when I grow up. I think I want to let people use my body for money." Nobody says that. So what happened to this woman? How did her life go sideways so badly? The scripture doesn't say. But we wonder, was it maybe that she was a young girl whose parents died and she was an orphan and had no one to provide for her, and she had to make do by her wits and whatever assets she had? was she abused, and she had to get away from this situation that was causing her damage, and she went into another situation that only damaged her in new ways. Could have been that she was a widow and her husband died. There was no such thing as pensions or social safety nets at the time, and maybe she had to do the only thing she could to give food for her kids, and she had to give her body to men who would pay for it. Maybe she was an alcoholic and descended into the brokenness of the sex trade. Well, she was in survival mode and did to survive what she had to with the only asset that she had, which was her body. And she sold it and she shared it. By so doing, she became despised by the decent people, the upstanding people, even though, who is it that visits prostitutes? Who is it that avails of their services? It tends to be the decent people who sneak into the shadows to have liaisons such as this. This was a woman who walked with her hair down. Decent women, women of standing and status and respect, always bound their hair up. It was the social convention of the day, but people like this woman, their hair was loose. It was a sign, just like sometimes you see on TV or you see if you go into the city, women standing at the corners and they have a look. There is something about them that says this is a person you can approach and receive their services. Well, her hair was the sign of the services that she could offer. She was a woman who had no hope. She was trapped, she was stuck, and as far as she could see, there was no future for her other than more of the same until something deadly or terrible happened to her. As we read the story, we're reading of a woman in a terrible and tragic circumstance. Also in the story is a man named Simon. And Simon was a very common name back then among the Jewish community, named after one of the patriarchs, and I can only imagine that his story was pretty typical. That he was born into a Jewish family that was pretty stable. He went to synagogue on the Sabbath. He received education at the synagogue school, where he would be taught to read and write, but also taught mathematics, and he would be taught the law. He was always, I'm sure, interested in Torah because he made a study of it. I'm guessing he was a middling student, not too bad, not the brightest bulb on the chandelier, but not a burned out one either. And he became, in time, a Pharisee, a teacher of the law, someone who could help others understand what the Word of God meant and how to live according to it. He is a man who gained some status. He was proud of being a Pharisee and pleased with his station in life, confident in his spiritual condition. The hope that he had was steady as she goes. Let's keep on keeping on. Let's do this thing that is working out pretty well for me. Well, both this woman and this man became aware of Jesus. Jesus, the itinerant rabbi going about the community, speaking and acting. And to the one, Jesus was a blessing. She just knew that this was a man to get close to, and to the other, Jesus was a threat. Someone to watch out for. Kind of like a mongoose watches a cobra. Well, Jesus was a blessing to this woman, this woman of the night, this woman of disrepute, because contrary to every other teacher, every other religious authority, every other leader, he saw her. When Jesus came into contact with a person like this woman, you know what he did? He talked to them. And he showed some respect to them. He sought to bless people like her. And he gave hope to people like this woman of the night, this broken woman, this humiliated woman, the one who had committed great sins and had even greater sins committed against her. Jesus was the one who, with people like this, bestowed forgiveness, granted peace, and offered them a future when they did not know any could exist. Now to Simon, to this Pharisee, Jesus was a threat. Because he had, through his years of study and reflection, had come up with this theological system with spiritual conclusions that Jesus was turning upside down. That, oh man, everything I've thought about is different because of what this guy is saying. And I kind of liked the way it was. I was comfortable with the way it was. I was doing well with the way it was. Jesus challenged his position, challenged his status. Indeed, Jesus challenged his pride and his self-identity. He said, I don't need this guy. I don't want this guy. But the woman did. She knew she needed Jesus. And you could see it in their eyes. Old Simon, in his house, in his safe place, you could see his eyes, they were dry. They were dry eyes. Maybe when Jesus talked, maybe he kind of squinted a little. Said, what? I don't think so. I don't agree with that. I don't like where you're going with this. And he was incredulous. You look at the woman's eyes, and you see eyes that are filled with tears. You could see it also in their actions towards Jesus. Simon, you know, he invited Jesus to this party, to this dinner, this little banquet he was throwing in his house. And he welcomed Jesus in, and then he pretty much ignored him. He didn't do all those things that a host is supposed to do when a guest comes into your home. These are social conventions that he absolutely failed to do. What an insult. He didn't welcome appropriately. When someone comes in the door, what you do as a guest in that time, you greet them at the door and you kiss them on both cheeks and say welcome. It was a way of shaking their hand and saying hi. He did not welcome Jesus into his house. Not appropriately. And because there was no asphalt and there were no cement sidewalks, they walked on dirt roads and people's feet got really dusty and dirty. Therefore, it was the social convention of the time that when a guest comes into your house, that you have water prepared so that you can wash their feet and that they're comfortable and not bringing dirt and dust into your house and they don't be embarrassed about it, that they are made clean to enter your house. That social convention didn't do that. And then there was an honorific thing with the oil. You would give people oil. I know we don't like oily hair. Like, it's not kind of the common thing, but you know, think back to the day of Brill Cream, guys. Right? It was the Brill Cream of the day. When someone came in that to help them to be well prepared for the party, you would give them oil for their hair so that they wouldn't be all fly away and they'd be clean and you could kind of get everything nicely patted down in place with all this oil. Didn't give that to Jesus. Super bad manners. Total disrespect to his guest. Well, and then you see this woman. And it's striking when you realize all that, how she did everything that he should have done but didn't. She slips into the house. Obviously not welcomed either. She slips in and when they were at the table, the tables were low and they would rest on the one elbow and then they would be at the table and they'd eat like this kind of. And so their feet sticking out the back. So it wasn't hard for her to get at Jesus' feet, like they were sticking out there. And she wept over his feet and her tears anointed his feet. And she washed the dust off his feet with her tears. And normally the host would have a towel there to dry the feet. She didn't have a towel. She used her hair, this loose hair that was the sign of her brokenness, the sign of the humiliation that she had suffered and was suffering in her life. She took that sign of her brokenness and she wiped the feet of Jesus with it. There was no oil for his head, but she had a bottle of perfume. Alabaster, it says. Alabaster jars were super expensive. And the perfume in there could only be released by breaking the jar. You were all in when you broke a jar of expensive perfume in alabaster. And she broke the jar and gave it all to Jesus and she anointed his feet. Wow. This story, this week, I had the privilege, and thank you for the privilege, of being able to study it in preparation for today. This story cut me to the heart. You decide how it affects you. I just want to tell you how it affected me. I like to think of myself as not being a Pharisee. Guys, I know the Pharisees, that they read the word, but they didn't understand the spirit of it, and they were all about legalism and rules. And I said, no, I'm a Christian guy. I want to be about grace and love and acceptance. I want to really know God, not only know the words, but I want to know Him. I like to think of myself as being fully devoted, spiritually alert, committed, an obedient follower of Christ. That's what I like to think of myself as. But then I look in the mirror and I look at my eyes. So what looks back at me? It seems that my eyes have more in common with the Pharisee than with the woman. I wonder, how do I respond to Jesus? When I'm in his presence, do I just kind of do the things that I want to do and do them according to my own lights? Or do I really understand what Jesus has done for me? And does that touch me beyond my mind? And does it get into my heart and dig deep into my soul? I think it's really easy for me, and maybe for you, to be like a Pharisee, saying, yeah, for many of us, born into a good home, taught the right things, give my nod, make profession of faith. Yeah, sure, I believe that. But then not allow that faith, that truth, to penetrate deeper than that. To have the faith of the Lord that is this deep truth and deep love and deep transformation remain for me a surface level thing. I became convicted this week that I need to weep a whole lot more. That I need to look at Jesus and allow myself to be overcome by the gospel. To realize not only how great my sin and misery are, but to know how great is my salvation and how profound is Jesus' love for me. I feel like we probably need to be converted. It was interesting, Jesus' words to Simon. He said, if you remember, the one who has been forgiven much loves much, and the one who has been forgiven little loves little. The first thing we want to say about that, our instinct, our impulse, is to say that the woman who was a prostitute, living on the margins of society, having these terrible things done to her as she does terrible things to others, is indeed the great sinner. And Simon, Pharisee, teacher of the law, living in a way that almost everybody says, yeah, there's a good guy, has little to forgive. But what this story actually tells us is the one who must be forgiven much is Simon. He is the one who hasn't drawn near to God. He's the one who has not given himself over in love. He's the one who let Jesus into the house but doesn't let Jesus into his heart. He is a man that needs forgiveness like that. And the woman, whatever reason for her situation and her life, she is a woman who has gone to Jesus. And let her heart be broken before him. And gave everything she had to him. And demonstrated her faith in him. How much does she have need of forgiveness? I think less than Simon. Now they both need the forgiveness of God. They both need to stand under the blood of Jesus. They both need to experience that renewal that comes from faith. And of course, they both do. But if Simon would get over himself, would listen to Jesus, would open himself up to Jesus and receive him, then Simon would be a man whose thanksgiving would overflow beyond measure. If he would give himself to Jesus, he would make the woman's display of love and attention look minor as he gave himself to Jesus. We all need to hear those words. Jesus claimed the right, the power, the authority to forgive sins, and said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." If only Simon had heard those words. If only Simon had opened himself up to Jesus. He too would have heard those words. Jesus said to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Peace is here for us. The sorrow we have for our broken lives is here for us, but also the hope for a future of blessing in Christ is here for us. So let us permit that hard shell that we have put over ourselves to be cracked apart, so that the goodness of God in Christ can percolate down into us, transform us on the inside, and make us people who receive that good word from Jesus, so that we can go in peace. I'd like to invite the worship team to come up at this time and think about this. Think about your relationship with Jesus. Think about, what does he evoke in you? And pray that he causes a transformation within you that lets you see him and hear those good words for yourself. Lord God, thank you for this wonderful story. We thank you for the woman who was able to show us what we should be doing for you. We pray for people like Simon, who have heard of you, even maybe have met you, but have not let you in. And we pray that we let you in. We ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.